The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, give light that we might see. Lord, give light that we might give light to others. Lord, give wisdom that we might understand, and Lord, give love that we might show love to others. Amen. Please do take a seat. So, dinner time has just finished in Catherine and John's household. John is upstairs putting the twins to bed, and Catherine slumps back into the couch in the living room, taking the first few liberating breaths after a long day in the office. The twins normally go to bed without any fuss, but today is different. They've been cooped up in the house all day after school was closed due to snow. And whilst John has tried every trick in his repertoire to tire them out, they are just little bunches of high-level energy. No sooner has John got Grace tucked in, Kyle manages to get toothpaste all over his pyjamas. But as John heads to the bathroom to sort Kyle out, Grace bounds out of bed and straight over to play with her train set. The lights flicker, ever so slightly, momentarily putting a hold on the twins' energy as they look up, slightly confused. But no sooner has the light flickered, it is back to full energy brightness. And unfortunately for John, so are the twins, quite literally bouncing off the walls. In a final attempt to appease the little rascals, John offers to read them a bedtime story, but only if they promise to be absolutely silent. The bright little children they are, they realise that if they want to hear the end of Gangster Granny, their favourite David Walliams book, they're going to have to stop being so energetic. So in a last ode to their former energetic selves, they bounce onto their beds, the bed's boards creaking, their dad cringing. They pull their duvet up to their necks and they put on their cutest little smiles. Impressed with how well his offer has gone down, John quickly grabs the book before the twins can change their mind, and he begins to read. Raj carefully stepped down off the ladder to help Ben with his search, but before he has the chance to say anything else, the room goes dark, pitch black. All energy in the room totally extinguished. The children silent. John, shocked. The only noise, the ticking of the clock on the wall. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. John, comes the call from downstairs. John, are you okay? Just as John is about to respond, a muffled cry emerges from Kyle's bed. The muffled cry gradually becomes more shrill, before a second tone joins in, but this one coming from Grace's bed. Both cries become more and more piercing with each second, the ticking clock no longer the only noise, in fact, no longer even audible. John, is everything okay? Do you ever torture anything up there? Unfortunately, John can't make out a word, other than maybe his name, deafened by the twins' rather discordant cries. He calls back to Catherine. Doc, torch, stairs! What? Catherine yells back, frustrated. John realizes his rather husky voice has no chance against the shrill, sharp nails of his children's vocal cords. So he slowly stands up and edges towards the door to call down to his wife. Crunch. Bother, he utters under his breath, but barely even heard by himself. In fact, had his twins not been in the room, he might have let out a slightly less wholesome exclamation. He lifts his foot off the now splintered miscellaneous toy and takes a step back. But as he places the foot down, it only disappears from under him, taking a slight turn around the chicane that could only be part of Grace's train set and a slight rise over what must have been a bridge. But rather than returning down the other side of the bridge, his leg continued in an upwards direction, like some stunt jump off a purpose-designed ramp. They say that such events move in slow motion for the unfortunate, less than willing participants. Every detail of the surroundings taken in and calculated for. But for John, there was nothing detailed about it. Pitch black in slow motion remains pitch black, but with more of it. Crumph! Suddenly, the pitch black colloal absence is accompanied by the relieving sensation of a goose feather down, broken fall. John remains relieved, but still shocked by the events of the last few seconds. Grace cries even more, somehow sensing that Thomas the Tank Engine is no more, whilst Kyle senses Grace's intuitive desperation and not wanting to be outdone, raises his pitch so high it's amazing the glass windows maintain their structural integrity. Having heard the twins' cries interspersed with the odd call from John, the latest sound of shattering plastic, and the low tones of air being expelled from woven fabric pillows, Catherine begins to desperately scramble off the couch downstairs and towards the kitchen, where she knows they keep an emergency torch. Still, in total darkness, she decides to proceed on all fours to the kitchen. After a few bumps and unexpected closed doors, she feels the cold, heat-sucking tiles of the kitchen floor. Now, all she has to do is remember where they keep the torch. Is it in the cupboard under the sink? Or did they move it to the drawer under the breakfast table? Or maybe it's next to the microwave? No, not there. Not there. Not there. Where could it be? As she edges about, shuffling to find the torch, she has a brainwave. Had they left it by the front door after bonfire night? Slowly, she moves towards the wall, following it around until she finds the kitchen door. The relief of moving onto a warm, deep pile carpet relaxes her worries that little bit, no longer having to deal with the shot of cold, numbing pain with each step of her crawl. As she reaches the door, she knocks over a heavy but smallish cylindrical object. The torch, it starts rolling, but she scrambles about, wildly flailing her hands about the floor in front of her, and after a few crunches of still-frozen leaves she bought in getting back from work, her flailing pincers grasp hold of the torch. She quickly runs her hands up and down the torch, desperately trying to flick the switch to turn the light on. Brightness suddenly fills the room, illuminating the path of mayhem she has left from her attempts to find the torch. Telephone pulled out of the socket and onto the floor, newspaper dragged off the coffee table, pages strewn across the entrance hall. But Catherine takes no time to consider the mess, but rather runs upstairs to the twins' bedroom, taking light with her, illuminating the darkness everywhere she goes. The dark can do nothing to stop her onward venture. Bouncing up three stairs at a time, Catherine will not be impeded. Reaching the top of the stairs, she sidesteps, switching momentum directly towards the twins' room, ever pointing the torch forwards. She reaches the source of the cries, desperately flings open the door, and immediately there is light. The twins' cries start to quieten. Catherine quickly spots her still slightly dazed husband and runs towards him, desperate to find him okay, whilst Grace and Kyle, now crying more gently, gradually emerge from their duvets. They sheepishly move towards their parents' open arms, and they are embraced. safe. Their cries muffled as they wipe their tears on their mum's jumper. The light has come, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, this might seem a rather long story to tell as part of a sermon that shouldn't really be too long, but I promise there is a point. In today's gospel, the gospel reading, we hear of John, sent to testify to the coming true light, the light we know was brought by Jesus, the light of God, the light that brings life, the life that brings light to all people. This light that has existed since God brought life into being, the light that unconquerably shines into dark places, this light is seen most perfectly in Jesus himself, the light John was sent to testify to, a light which was to enlighten everyone. Darkness can cause havoc. It can cause terror. It can call all manner of things to be broken. It can cause pain. It can cause metaphorical train sets to be broken, pages of our past to be messily strewn all over the place, those we love to be confused, our means of communication cut off from the socket. But when light comes, we have hope. We have hope of navigating the mess of life. We have hope of helping those we love whilst not falling over ourselves. We have hope of making it over the hurdles of life's train sets. This light does not mean that pain and brokenness is fixed. Life will still have its splintered train sets, its broken relationships, the pages of its past strewn all over the place, confusion in those we love most, communications fractured. But when we look to Jesus, we can find such a light, and when the light we find through the life and death of Jesus comes, we have hope. We have hope of navigating the mess of life. We have hope of helping those we love whilst not falling over ourselves. We have hope of making it over the hurdles of life's train sets. And so long as we have light, we have hope. For where there is light, darkness will not remain. Light conquers darkness. Now, as I close, I want us to think back to the story I told earlier. Think over the metaphors it holds for us and our lives. The characters, the energy, the action, the confusion, the mess, the pain, the scrabbling about for something, the mess left behind, the light, the hope. Let's spend a moment or two now allowing the message to speak to our hearts as we ponder the implications of our gospel reading. Of light that conquers darkness. Light that can be found in the life of Jesus. Hope that can be found in the life and example of Jesus. How does Jesus bring light into your life? How does Jesus and his example speak hope into your life? How might you bring light to the lives of others? How might you speak hope into the lives of others? Amen.